From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. La Crosse voters head to the polls on Tuesday to decide who will become the state's next 95th Assembly District Representative. Democrat Jill Billings and Republican Dave Drews are vying for the seat. Billings is the vice chair of the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors. Drews worked in sales before retiring, and he's the former chairman of the watchdog group Citizens for Responsible Government. Earlier this week, we were joined by Billings and Drews in our studios for a candidate forum. How can you justify government versus the private sector? Is there one side that should have more importance than the other? And Dave Drews, you can answer first.
Absolutely. Private sector should be always considered first, if at all possible. There are certain things that government does best, schools and police and fire and roads and various things like that. But there are, again, we come back to as how many times have we discussed the fact that the city tried to take over a good private ambulance service. Wrong, and I would hope that the discussions of it that are currently going on would die, because it's not the right thing to do. And there are other things. We said roads, but at the same time, the ability to contract out some of those things is very important. There was a discussion earlier of ability of a community coordinating all equipment with another community, and that starts breaking into the private sector, and I'm very concerned about that. So wherever possible, private industry must be given the upper hand. If you've ever hired and saw a teacher's union comes to mind, of trying to dismiss a government employee, it's nearly impossible. And so that sort of thing, you must be a caution whenever you look at a government expenditure for a particular project that involves government workers. Keep in mind, you're probably going to have those for a long time, whether the project is done or not. So.
And Jill Billings, government versus private sector?
Well, on the county board, I have had experience working in collaborative situations that I think have worked out quite well. I'm the vice chair of the Health and Human Services Board, and there are certain contracts that we have with private entities in town because they do a good job on some of those things, and it doesn't all have to be done in-house by us. But we can have partnerships with people who have expertise in certain areas and do certain work very well. I also value those partnerships on the Economic Development Fund, as I mentioned earlier, with helping create jobs and help businesses grow in our area. I think those public-private partnerships can work quite well. And we have some of those as the county and some that we do with the city and some that we do with the state. I think it's all about collaboration in the future, that you don't want to be a silo in and of yourself, but the more you can work with others around you for cost savings, the better off it is. I think that government has led the way in some areas, for example, some green initiatives that we've done. We have a sustainability committee that's part city, part county, and we've been able to work with the city on some green initiatives, and we've been able to work on our own on some green initiatives that have saved money, such as our solar hot water heaters in the new law enforcement center addition. And I think as long as you can cost those projects out and see that it's going to save money in the long run, I think those are good investments.
If you're elected, what will you advocate for the La Crosse area? And Jill Billings, you can go first.
I think that we have a lot of expertise in our area. As I've run for office, I've, along with talking with voters in the district, I've also talked with some businesses and hospitals, and we live in a very rich community with expertise in business. And so I would advocate for that, for people settling in our area. I mean, we have a beautiful area with bluffs, with the rivers. It's such a welcoming city, and we're very lucky to be living here. And I think it's important to get that word out to the rest of the state. As I have friends that come and visit me here, they're amazed, not just with the natural beauty, but with what we have to offer as a city and the culture here. A friend was visiting from California, and he said, kids are so respectful in this town. They don't have the attitude that I see in California. And he was able to tour Christ Church with me and see the largest Tiffany window in the Midwest right here in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And to tour the river and to tour the bluffs, we're very rich with our environment here and expertise.
And Dave Drews, if elected, what would you advocate for the La Crosse area?
I'd advocate for doing things that would enhance Train's ability to stay here. There are many people who have told me that Train will be history in 10 years. That's a horrible thought. What are we doing to enhance the ability of Train or any other business, I don't mean to pick on Train alone, to make them want to stay here? We're through permitting problems, as I noted earlier, that's absolutely ridiculous by the city, to high taxes. When the city has to essentially force their employees to live in the city versus surrounding areas, something's wrong. Now, the rest of these things that Jill noted, the beauty of the area, unmatched. You, like Forest Hills Golf Course, what a beautiful place to play. And the whole surrounding area is very nice. The fishing on the Mississippi, if you're a fisherman, the hunting in the surrounding areas, not so much in the county itself, but in the surrounding areas, wonderful. And, of course, it gets a little chilly in the winter or hard to sled in July, whichever you prefer to not like, but I think the opportunities are slipping away. Now, she said that the county was the fifth lowest taxed, but it was the third lowest just a few years ago. We're going the wrong way. There is something wrong here. We've got to correct that. We should be looking to be the second or first lowest taxed county. I'm very concerned about that.
Frac sand mining is becoming more prevalent in western Wisconsin. A sand processing plant has been proposed in Bangor, and other sites in the area are considered lucrative for the business. What are your thoughts on frac sand mining in the Cooley region? And Dave Drews, you can answer first.
I think it's a wonderful asset that, like other mining, we need to enjoy the profits from it. And by the way, profits are not a nasty word. Profits are absolutely necessary if people want to have good jobs. Good jobs only come from profitable companies. So let's look at the silica mining like other good business that it has to be concerned for the workers, for the neighborhood, and future of environmental concerns, but all of those can be overcome, and I understand are well taken care of by the current employers that are looking at developing it. It's a great asset. It's sort of sand gold for Wisconsin, and we need to take care of it. It's a very unique type of sand. And it's needed for the new type of oil exploration to get the oil to separate itself from the underground structure. So let's enjoy it, but be careful with the process of getting it so it doesn't harm our future.
And Jill Billings, your thoughts on frac sand mining in the Cooley region?
I think it's important as this has become more popular in Wisconsin and more people have come to mine from out of the area that we make sure that we have a good permitting process, that we make sure that the infrastructure is there and that the companies that are coming in to do the mining pay for that infrastructure so it doesn't just set on the taxpayers to have to take care of all of that. And I think that in La Crosse County, we're set in a good position that we have good permitting, we have good zoning, and it's not true with all counties in Wisconsin. So I have more of a concern actually with other counties with this issue. I think that it's good to have those jobs in our area, but we still need to ensure that we protect our natural resources for future generations. When you look at what the beautiful gift that the Hixsons gave us with Hixson Forest, we want to keep that in mind for future generations too, because these are finite resources. But I think we just have to make sure that we ensure safety of water quality and that there are guidelines in place so that this is a process that does not hurt the environment for future generations.
Another energy-related question. Two major energy power lines are trying to get approval to come through the La Crosse region. The CapEx 2020 and the American Transmission Company both want to build major energy transmission power lines, and some say the energy upgrades are needed, while others say the lines harm the environment and property values. Where do you stand on these transmission projects? Jill Billings.
Well, the county has done some work in this area. We considered a resolution in our last month's meeting, and we decided to table it for a period of time because we want to do more research in this area. There's a lot of facts that are flying from different sides of this debate, and we want to make sure that we know we have good information that's based on science. And that's what we always do in the county. We make sure that we have good information that's credible and take our time to make good decisions, and that's what we're doing on this.
And Dave Drews, your thoughts on the high energy transmission projects?
There are some, I suppose, difficult things to consider. My whole idea is sort of off from that. That's an immediate concern that needs to be worked on with the best information possible. And yes, both sides are throwing out numbers that make you wonder. So, but my whole thing is that we're taking the wrong approach here. What we ought to do is have a small nuclear plant for every million people, to cut out all these transmission lines. It would be so much better. France does it. If France does it, Germany, Europe, why can't we, for goodness sake? It's not an impossible situation that those special interests that are totally anti-nuke just don't understand, and you have to overcome that because that is really the future. I come from western Minnesota, which is a wind area. The expense, there's no way you could ever get wind power without tax support. And besides, I've been 30 below with no wind at night, and let me tell you, I still want my house heated when it's 30 below, and you aren't going to get it from either solar or wind. Those are all fine things for thoughts, but they really, really are very costly and do not make it. They can supplement and do experimental work with it and see if there isn't some way that you can help out. But the real problem still comes back to a reliable, steady source of energy, and that's nuclear. And the sooner we get to the point where we put a nuclear plant for every million or so people, cut out the transmission lines, it's even a hazard for terrorists. Because you can knock off one of those towers and just totally knock off the whole thing. So with that, I guess I'm kind of going in a different approach on this.
Private school vouchers are becoming more widespread in certain cities throughout Wisconsin. Do you support the idea of private school vouchers? And if it moved into the La Crosse area, would you support that idea as well? And Dave Drews, you can go first.
The idea of private school vouchers gets its emphasis because the teachers' union has made such a mess of our school system. In Wisconsin, we're putting in, I don't know, how many thousands of dollars per student, and Minnesota and Iowa are not putting in as much but have as good as ACT scores. So they're now, hopefully, with the new laws that have been done by the legislature, will bring our costs down a fair amount. I don't know if we'll bring it down enough, but that it's an issue of where do you look for efficiencies and effectiveness for your tax dollar.
And Jill Billings, your thought on private school vouchers and if they were to become more prevalent in the La Crosse area?
I'm not in favor of expanding school vouchers. I think it takes a money away from our public school system where we need those precious tax dollars. I think that our school system is not a mess. I have two kids who are in the school system here in La Crosse. They started at Emerson. My daughter decided to go to Northwoods because she wanted the international school experience, and it's been wonderful. Now she's studying two languages. They both went to Lincoln Middle School, and now they're both at Logan High School, where my kids are challenged by teachers. If they need extra work, they're given that work so that they are they're interested in school. They're challenged. Zoe, my daughter, is passionate about art and languages, and they have been able to help feed that passion that she has. So she may have a bright future there. You never know. I think that our teachers do incredible work. There may be a kindergarten teacher who has a variety of kids in the classroom, from someone who doesn't know how to tie their shoes and write their name to a child who already knows how to read, and a few kids with special needs. And I've seen teachers, as I volunteered in our schools, who do incredible work on making sure that everybody is challenged, that everybody is attended to, and we've had an incredible educational experience. My son is looking for colleges now, and he is looking at some really good schools, and part of that has been his drive to do well, and part of it has been the support that he's received at home. But most of it has come from the incredible teachers that he and his sister have both had here in La Crosse.
Now I'll offer each of you the opportunity to ask the other person a question. And Jill Billings, you can ask Dave Drews a question first. And you each will have 2 minutes to respond.
Dave, I've heard a lot of you kind of picking things apart. For example, you complained about the third lowest of 72 counties in taxes isn't good enough for you. You want it to be second or the lowest in the state. And I'm wondering, your experience in creating things. Is there projects or something that you've created in this community?
Well, I certainly take the glad to answer that question. One of the things I think I'd like to bring to After Hours in Madison is that I enjoy playing and teaching bridge. And what a great thing to clear your mind of everything else is to have a good game of bridge. So that now, as far as job creation, I've worked to remove impediments to businesses that need more freedom. I'm thinking of a quote that just came across the other day. Liberty must at all hazards be supported. And we're not giving the liberty to the businesses that we could. Now, we have to protect the workers. We have to give reasonable hours. But there are many, many restrictions and questions of permits and stuff that are either delayed or just don't fit a way to increase business. I think the question of the trucks that she brought up, certainly it's been shown to be very safe in other states and are used. And when they come to Wisconsin, should they be restricted then? What are they going to do? I think we have to look to comply with surrounding states so that it's not a problem or an impediment to them.
And Dave Drews, would you like to ask Jill Billings a question now?
I don't really know. I've been thinking of, I guess, of my own campaign and not hers. So, what would I like to ask her? I trust your editing. I guess I would ask her if she can be as positive about a profitable business as I am. That profits are good. And I hear so many that are being very critical of profits. They're what makes our free enterprise system grow. Can you speak favorably of profits as well?
I absolutely understand that we need profitable businesses in our area for us to do well. We need businesses to create jobs and for people to do well, to keep our college students in our area. We need good jobs. And I've talked with businesses in this campaign, I think I've learned a lot from the expertise that we have in this area in businesses. And if I'm elected, I hope to maintain those relationships.
And now I'll offer each of you a one-minute rebuttal. And Jill Billings, you can go first.
I don't think I have a rebuttal.
Okay. Dave Drews, do you have a rebuttal at all? Anything from the last half hour or hour?
I haven't kept any notes. Really, I think we have said a number of things that are quite congenial today. We're both recognize some of the problems. Our approach to solution of the problems is different. For instance, with education, I think there's plenty of money there. It just has to be distributed properly. There has to be a restriction on the teachers' union, because it has made a very, very messy situation here, as contrast to what Jill was saying. Good teachers, no question about that. But when a support staff earns $100,000, that's questionable. When a part-time person gets 120 to 150% benefit package for working a few hours, that's unacceptable and unsustainable. So those sort of things have to be changed.
Jill Billings, rebuttal at all? Or?
Well, I don't understand where that figure comes from, a support staff person making $100,000 or someone working a few hours and getting 125% of benefits. I haven't seen that, and I question the validity of that.
I'll be glad to show it to you.
Republican Dave Drews and Democrat Jill Billings are running for the Wisconsin Assembly's 95th District seat. The election is Tuesday. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, Mary Meehan Strube, John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear this show or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also now on Facebook. For updates on future shows, photos, and links to our archives, follow us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.